कामस्यानेन्द्रिया प्रीतिः लाभो जीवेतयावता जीवस्य तत्त्वजिज्ञासा नार्थो यश्चेह कर्मपि।
Desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Therefore, by His divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed toward the fulfillment of desires in sense gratification. In such civilization, in all spheres of life, the ultimate end is sense gratification. In politics, social service, altruism, philanthropy, and ultimately in religion, or even in salvation, the very same tint of sense gratification is ever increasingly predominant. In the political field, the leaders of men fight with one another to fulfill their personal sense gratification. The voters adore the so-called leaders only when they promise sense gratification. As soon as the voters are dissatisfied in their own sense satisfaction, they dethrone the leaders. The leaders must always disappoint the voters by not satisfying their senses. The same is applicable in all other fields. No one is serious about the problems of life. Even those who are on the path of salvation desire to become one with the absolute truth and desire to commit spiritual suicide for sense gratification. But the Bhagavatam says that one should not live for sense gratification. One should satisfy the senses only in so much as required for self-preservation and not for sense gratification. Because the body is made of senses, which also require a certain amount of satisfaction, there are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses. But the senses are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. For example, marriage or the combination of a man with a woman is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning. But foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is search after the absolute truth. Seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements in sense gratification. Because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth. And that sort of engagement will make one happy, because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that absolute truth is explained as follows. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, entitled Divinity and Divine Service, Text Number 10. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, the spirit of consciousness is required for a progressive human being is very clearly and strongly established. In order to truly appreciate Srimad Bhagavatam in the future cantos and chapters, one must search first very carefully understand this chapter. In the particular verse that we are reading today, it explains what should be the aspiration of a person to actually be able to comprehend Srimad Bhagavatam, which describes the Absolute Truth. Our desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. This is very strong. I think this one sentence puts us in our proper position. This one sentence reveals to us what is our qualification, and especially what is our disqualification. One should never use one's life in a direction towards sense gratification. Of course, Krishna tells in Bhagavad Gita that the senses are so strong and so impetuous that even a man of great wisdom is sometimes dragged down by their forces. Yatato hyati konteya purushasya vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti prashabama. The modes of nature, ignorance and passion, when they catch hold of our consciousness, then they cause such a strong dependence and addiction to the senses and their objects. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam tayapatita chetasam vyabhashayatmakabhutir samadho nabhadiyata. Krishna tells that for one who is too much attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. Thus, throughout our holy scriptures, there is very, very great emphasis on the importance of giving up the aspiration for material enjoyment. First of all, we must be convinced, theoretically, of the futility of material love. Prahlad Maharaj tried to convince his father, Hiranyakashipu, who was really addicted to sense gratification. Matirana Krishne Paratha Patovya
Mitoka Bedeta Griha Kupam, Vidvatma Bhattam Griham Andakupam, Punasht, Punasht Chakachara Bhattachara Ganana.
That as long as we are still hoping that we can be happy through sense gratification and pursuing that line, self-realization is impossible by our own efforts or even with the help of others. The blind, deep well of materialistic life is a place where people are simply chewing that which has already been chewed. This is Prahlad Maharaj's understanding of sense gratification. Puna punash charapata charaganam. Chewing that which has already been chewed. Sense gratification is available for everyone in every species of life. And really, it's all the same, just with different packages, maybe with different flavors, but it's all the same substance. Prabhupada gives example of sugar cane, that people suck the juice out of the sugar cane. And then they take that same fibrous pulp and just keep chewing and chewing and chewing, trying to get a little more juice, a little more juice. And any little taste they get excites them so much. Sense gratification, we have tasted it, we have suffered from it, we have spit it out, birth after birth after birth, and yet we keep trying to enjoy it. But yet, as long as we are thinking we are this body, the modes of nature are so strong, it's so very, very, very difficult to give it up. Therefore, yes, one must be convinced with one's intelligence that the path of sense gratification is the path of suffering and death. Prahlad Maharaj told his classmates, if you want to be happy and no longer suffer, it's actually very simple. Simply stop trying to be happy in this world. Yehi samsparasha cha bhoga dhuka jo naeva te atyanta banta konti anate shudamate vidha. Krishna, who is the creator of everything, he has told the secret of how material existence works. Materialistic people, through all of their universities and academic studies, they can acquire a lot of information about what is around them in this world, but really, how it works, they'll never figure out. What its purpose is, why it's working the way it is. The only way to understand that is to hear from Krishna, who is the creator. The whole educational world, with all of its very developed technologies, is simply to improve the quality of people's sense gratification. But Krishna tells here that the enjoyment that comes from the pleasure between the senses and their objects are the sources of misery. In every type of happiness in this world is the seed of pain. And a devotee must be convinced of this. Every time we try to enjoy our senses in a selfish, egoistic way, we are enjoying, but simultaneously planting seeds of misery and pain within our hearts, and those seeds are going to grow and fructify. So if you want to be happy, stop trying to be happy in this world. It's as simple as that, theoretically. That's the hardest thing in the world to do, because we're conditioned since time immemorial to try to find happiness through the mind and the senses. And even learned scholars who have come to the conclusion of frustration after trying to enjoy so many various circumstances of this life, even lifetimes of going to the heavenly planets, Abrahma Bhavanaloka Punaravatunotuna. Krishna says, from the highest planet down to the lowest, Brahma Loka to Patala Loka, they're all places of misery. Why? Dukalaya Vashashvatam. Because everything's temporary. And we are eternal. Satchidananda. The eternal could never find any pleasure that has any real substance in what is temporary. So yes, the whole material world, universe, from Brahma Loka to Patala Loka, are places of misery. So some persons who understand this with conviction, they strive for mukti. They want to merge into the oneness of the Absolute. They want to become God. But from the point of view of Srimad Bhagavatam, the crest jewel of all Vedic literatures, that is another type of sense gratification. It is another type of selfish, egoistic expression. I want to be God. I want to enjoy not suffering. That is mukti. Narayana parasarva. Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana. Sudurlabha prasantatma koti shruti mahamani. Therefore, Bhagavad says, out of many, many people who have achieved mukti, out of many, many highly elevated souls who have attained the mystic siddhis, none of them finds real peace or happiness because they all have selfish motivations. The only person who can find real, true peace is that person who is a pure devotee of Lord Narayana. Savaipu samparo dharmo yato bhaktir rokshiji ahoitiki apriti hata yajatma suprasiji. The reason why is explained in this verse. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings one to the point of loving service to the Supreme Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted to completely satisfy the self. Param trisva nivartate. We cannot give up the lower aspirations for material enjoyment and liberation unless we experience something higher. Bhakti. Devotional service is the higher taste. As a neophyte devotee, one is in a very difficult situation because one understands that sense gratification is the path of suffering and death, but one also understands one cannot really give it up unless one experiences a higher taste. And one can't get that higher taste until one gives it up. But we don't have the higher taste. Have any of you come to that realization in your lives? It's very difficult. I'll repeat the problem again. that we cannot give up sense gratification unless we have a higher taste. At the same time, we can't get the higher taste until we give up sense gratification. And some of us may not have that higher taste. So what are we supposed to do?
Nayam deho deha vajandolake.
Rishabhdev said, sense gratification is available for the dogs and hogs that eat stool. What's such a big thing about it? We must have this conviction.
Sometimes we become enamored. We see beautiful ladies or handsome men, and they have big, beautiful cars and glamorous clothes, and so many people who honor them and worship them. They have so much knowledge and so much charisma and wealth and facilities. And we think, oh, how special they are. They sing nicely, they dance nicely, they speak nicely. They have so much power, so much influence, so many luxuries. Life is so easy for them. Yes, sometimes we even become envious of them. Yes? Kolavetra Sridhar. He didn't have anything. He had a thatched hut. He had just an old pot. We'll talk about that later. He was emaciated because he didn't eat much food. Clothes that were knotted to tie the holes together in at least 10 places. Then Lord Chaitanya tested him. He tested him, actually, just to instruct us. He said, Sridhar, look at your life and look at the people around you. They're not worshiping Krishna. They're worshiping Chandi or Manasa, the snake goddess. And look at, they have nice homes, they have big, beautiful families, and they're playing, and they have so many nice comforts, and good food, and nice homes, so much. Why, Sridhar, what are you getting from this chanting Hare Krishna? Sridhar, he was tasting the nectar of the holy names. He was perfectly satisfied. He was not envious of them. He understood that material enjoyment is the source of misery. There was no attraction whatsoever. Prabhupada quotes Yamunacharya, now that I have tasted the sweetness of bhakti, when I think about sense gratification, I spit at the thought and my lips curl in distaste. Very high realization. But sometimes we become enamored. Why can't I have like that? Therefore, yes, we must be convinced. We must be convinced that the more you enjoy, the more you become attached to that enjoyment, and that enjoyment serves two purposes. One is it entangles you in the network of karma, and because your attachment is temporary, when it's torn away from you, you're going to suffer. And second of all, that attachment is diverting your attention away from Krishna. So Rishabhdev, he explains, oh, you think these people are acting so nicely? What they're doing is no different than the lives of dogs and hogs that eat stool. Hare Krishna. Very blunt. But the Lord is sometimes very blunt. How could he say like this? So many nice forms of comfort and happiness is like eating stool. Yes. Prabhupada
Following in Lord's footsteps is also very blunt. He carries on beyond Rishabhdev's speech. He talks about the nature of that stool. He says there's prominently two categories of stool. One is wet stool, and the other is dry stool. Now, for a hog, there's a big difference between the two. Wet stool is full of juice, full of what the hogs would consider rasam. Very juicy. Very, very intensive flavors. And they enjoy like anything. I have seen with my own eyes. I won't go into too many details. But I've seen a hog just so eager for this wet stool, it was all over his face. And a crowd of other hogs were licking his face. Hare Krishna. Now, to a human being, that's pretty disgusting, isn't it? Would you be disgusted seeing that? Well, for the self-realized souls, they see you as even more disgusting when you're enjoying sense gratification. Because hogs are supposed to do that. But tapovi divyam putrakayena sapam, human beings are meant not to do that. Human life is meant for tapasya. Now, for a hog, dry stool is actually an austerity. They don't want it. If that's all there is, then, you know, somehow or other they'll suffer. There's no taste. So dogs, hogs, they discriminate. Wet stool, dry stool. But for a human being, when you see one next to the other on the side of the road, do you differentiate? It's all stool. Neither one has any attraction. You just walk by. In fact, the human being prefers the dry stuff because it has less odors and everything like that. So similarly, material life is simply wet stool and dry stool. Once we experience the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, then we do not have interest. But at the beginning, we must have conviction. And in order to somehow or other withstand the temptations of sense gratification, first of all, we must hear from the authorities so that our intelligence is kept always very, very strong. We must hear Bhagavatam every day. Why? Because Maya's propaganda is very strong. We have to remind ourselves each and every day of the wonderful nectar of Krishna consciousness and the dangers of material enjoyment. So hearing is of utmost importance. And we find our great acharyas, when they're speaking to devotees who are not on the very, very elevated platform of spontaneous love, they put great emphasis on the dangers of material life. Because unless we really, really hear that and are reminded of that, we will not take shelter of Krishna's names. We will not take shelter of Krishna's pastimes and his teachings. Bhagavad Gita is the preliminary scripture. It's full of descriptions
of the dangers and miseries of material life. And then we come to Srimad Bhagavatam, where the beginning is saying the same thing. And then we enter into the Leelas of the Lord. So that order is very important. We must side by side gain the higher taste by chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord, and at the same time hearing the Lord's words to warn us against the dangers of trying to chew that which has already been chewed. To give us the treasure of love of God is why Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda descended into this world. In Navadvip Dham, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his Sankirtan movement, so many of the people who were attached to sense gratification were so much against him, because he was actually interfering with their sense gratification. Yes? In the house of Srivas, they were chanting all night long. Now, sleep is a type of sense gratification. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. These are the four basic forms of sense gratification. And sleeping is very, very important. People who sleep too much are in the mode of ignorance. Yes? Some people, they just love to sleep. They long to sleep. And if you get good sleep, then your body is very strong, fit, and alert for sense gratification. Now, devotees dovetail that same principle in Krishna's service. Krishna tells in Gita that this path is not for one who sleeps too much or sleeps too little, eats too much or eats too little. We want our body to be strong, fit, and alert so that we can do the maximum quality service for Guru, Krishna, and Vaishnavas. But the materialistic persons, they want to sleep and eat so that they can be better equipped to enjoy and earn facilities to enjoy. So the loud kirtans were very too much. False ego is the subtlest, most powerful form of sense gratification. We must understand that there are many, many persons today and throughout history who have given up sex life, who've given up family life, who practically eat nothing. We have seen people who practically live just by eating air, give up eating, who have no homes. Such intensely austere lives, but they are proud. If you don't respect them properly, they become infuriated. So actually, all of their austerities, all of their fasting, is really just a big feast for their false ego. Mahotsav for the ahankar. So this is very dangerous. If austerities make you hard-hearted, then they are defeating their own purpose. Austerity should make us soft-hearted. Hard heart means a heart that is hardened by false ego, thinking in terms of I. I am the doer. I am great. Pratishta. Subtle sense gratification. We desire honor. We desire respect.
As long as that foundational form of ego is there, then we haven't really achieved our goal. So it is very, very important we understand that real detachment is humility. The humility of the heart is actual detachment. Amanina manadena, when you do not want to be respected, when you actually find joy respecting others, when you actually find happiness in glorifying others, and you have no desire for yourself, that is a healthy state. That is actually what a Vaishnava is supposed to be. There are many examples. When Lord Chaitanya was praising Sanatana Goswami or Haridas Thakur, all the devotees were in ecstasy. Now, an ordinary person would think, why is he not saying, doesn't he know what I am doing? Why is he not talking about me? No. Everyone was in bliss when he was praising Sanatana Goswami, except one person, Sanatana Goswami. He was crying. He's saying, no, my Lord, I'm just the most fallen, and you are so merciful, you are saying like this. That is a pure heart. So in Navadvipa, there were many such egoistic persons who were learned Brahmins. And they were not allowed in Srivas Thakur's house. Lord Chaitanya would personally lock the doors and shut the windows. And these egoistic people, learned, respectable in every way, socially, puffed up, they couldn't tolerate. How does it look to the world? They're not allowed in. Hare Krishna. People would try to bribe the devotees to get them in. But the devotees understood the will of the Lord. They even threatened the Vaishnavas. They threatened them with all kinds of difficulties, pains, if they didn't let them in. But the devotees didn't care. So what was the last resort? To simply blaspheme. What are they doing in there? All sorts of sinful activities. Drinking wine, enjoying with young virgin girls, doing all kinds of tantric rites. The reason they don't let us in is because we will expose them. Because we are pious, learned, and glorious personalities. Hare Krishna. Today in our yatra we are going to Simantadweep. I have been requested by devotee to speak a particular story in this regard. So with your permission, I will speak this story. The pious people of Navadvip, they were really appalled by these blasphemers. Because they really, sincerely, they wanted to see Lord Chaitanya dancing. They wanted to enter into the kirtan. And they used to say that because of these blasphemers, the Lord will never let us in. They're ruining everything. They would pray that Nimai Pandit is the greatest personality in all the universe. He has actually descended into this world just to give love of God to everyone. We will give our lives, we will give our souls, we will give our everything if we could at one time just see him dance. Just to see the beautiful dance of Nimai will liberate us from all sufferings forever. This was their mood. At the end of one night, all the noble, pious people of Narayana came to Nimai Pandit's door to present him wonderful gifts. They offered him bananas, ghee, milk, flowers, garlands, jewels, whatever the best they had, they just one by one presented to him. They did it with love. They had no envy in their heart. The Lord was pleased with them. Even despite so many people who were criticizing them, they had to actually cross the social barrier and accept humiliation just to be favorable to Lord Chaitanya. And they were willing to do it. So the Lord, being pleased, gave them the greatest benediction. He said, "My dear brothers and sisters, I'm very pleased with you. Please hear my instructions. Always serve Lord Krishna. Worship Lord Krishna as your life and your soul. And constantly chant his holy names. I will teach you now how you should chant the holy names. It is very simple. With a happy heart, please hear from me. Recite these names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare."
Keep this Maha Mantra always on your lips. This Maha Mantra has the power to clean your heart of all material sufferings and awaken pure love, which is the ultimate and only true perfection of life. In the chanting of these holy names, there are no hard and fast rules. You can chant in any place, with anyone, anywhere, in any circumstance. Keep these names always on your lips. Gather together, 5 or 10 of you, with your family, with your friends, in your homes, on the roads, wherever you may be, even in your shops, and just chant these holy names. Clap your hands, dance, and chant. You will find the greatest treasure of love of Krishna in Harinam Sankirtan. The Lord gave them this instruction. And the townspeople of Navadvip, they were in bliss, so much bliss. Everywhere the chanting of the holy names began. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased that everybody that he saw chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, he would embrace them. He would put flower garlands on them with his own hands. He would decorate their limbs with sandalwood pulp. With great humility, Lord Chaitanya would even put straw between his teeth and show his gratitude for those persons who accepted his instruction to chant the holy names. It is very important to hear carefully this beautiful story. Lord Chaitanya told them also, you can chant this mantra. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yarabaya Nama Gopal Govindaram Srimadhusuda. when the Lord embraced them, when the Lord thanked them, they achieve perfection. Here Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is shown how grateful he is for anyone who, with humility and sincerity, takes his holy name. The Harinam Sankirtan movement was spreading like wildfire after Lord Chaitanya actually gave the mantra to the common people. Soon, everywhere, there was kartals, there was mardangas, there was conch shells blowing, there was people clapping hands, practically thousands and thousands of houses, village after village after village. They were all chanting Hare Krishna day and night. One day, the Chand Kazi decided to take a walk through Navadvip. From all sides and all directions, he was hearing the chanting of the Maha Mantra. He was enraged. He screamed out, "For so long, you Hindus, under my orders, have been following your religious principles privately and secretly. Now why has it become public? According to my holy scriptures, this is an offense to the Lord. I have proclaimed it is punishable offense to perform this sankirtan." He was so outraged that he actually started beating Hindus. He even picked up a mardanga with his own hands and broke it to pieces. And then he sent 1,000 soldiers who were actually dacoits, thugs, to roam through the streets of Navadvip and the neighboring villages with the exclusive mission of finding anyone who was chanting the holy names. They would plunder their possessions and severely beat them. The townspeople were very much afraid. So they came before Lord Vishwambar at his home, and they said, "We cannot do this Harinam Kirtan anymore in the town of Navadvip. The Chand Kazi, he has 1,000 soldiers who are just searching, and if they hear anyone chanting, they beat us, they plunder us, they imprison us. Perhaps we should go to another town, to another district, but we have to leave this place." Lord Chaitanya said, "No, no, just go on. Do not be afraid." They were afraid. Naturally so. When they revealed their hearts to the Lord, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became Lord Shiva personified. With a thunderous voice, he cried, "Nityananda! Hear what I say. Immediately, go to the homes of all the Vaishnavas and give them this message. Today, I will dance in the streets of Navadvip. Let me see who will do what to me. Today, I will sing and dance at the door of Kazi. I will burn his door down. I will burn his house down. What will that king do to me? Today, I will bring a rainstorm of pure devotional service and ecstatic love of God to flood all of Navadvip town. Today, personified stands before the blasphemers. O brothers and sisters of Nadia, hear my words. Everyone, come with torch in hand. In all the numberless universes, every living being is the servant of my servants. You have nothing to fear from anyone. I will protect you. Today, we will flood Navadvip with the chanting of the holy name. Today, I will lead the kirtan through the streets, and I will dance. Now everyone go home and take your lunch prasad and come back in the evening with a torch in your hand.